The first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. In learning the Ten Commandments, we will use our ten fingers as a small memory aid. And in the first commandment, we have the first finger, number one. Of course, meaning God is first and number one. But who is God? In the Old Testament, God is often referred to as Yahweh, which means I am. This means not only that God is now, but he already was, and he shall be forever. And it also means that God is not only there, but he is also active in his existence, since he created the world and he protects the world till this day, and he will see this world to its final end. Contrary to God, man is but a second in time. In Psalm 103, verse 15 onwards, the psalmist explains to us, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children." It is natural for human beings to cling on to life and to all the things that life has to offer. But God expects in the first commandment that he should have the first place. This means not only that we verbally once in a while proclaim our belief in God, or that we uphold the prayer times and other rituals, giving God his space in time so that he should be happy with us. No, God just doesn't want only rituals and outward confessions only. He wants our whole heart, our whole soul. He wants everything. So some people ask this question: how can God claim so much from us? Is God not being very greedy and selfish in this? But the first commandment is in fact a key for us to live on this earth. The first commandment is a key to everything. Without God, we are a flower of the field, in the field. Here today, gone tomorrow. In God, we are in his love, protected by him and in him, from eternity to eternity. And Jesus says, "Seek his kingdom, and all these things will come to you," in Luke 12, verse 31. And yet, having God as first in one's life and honoring him before all else is a completely impossible challenge to us humans. Because all other things we can see, feel, and touch, God we cannot see. How shall we then, like Martin Luther says, fear, love, and trust him above all things? So we can see that in this first commandment, we also already see the mystery of faith. Only through faith can we uphold God above all things. Without faith, and if people command us to believe in God, we have no other choice but to play the fool and to show people outwardly that we honor God while our heart is very distant from him. out of faith, we can almost naturally then uphold this commandment as well as all the others, fearing, loving and trusting God. This is the reason why Martin Luther also, in his prescript to all the commandments, has this little sentence there: we should fear, love and trust God. The first commandment wants us to give everything to God. But there are a number of things which stand in the way. Some of them might be family, sport, money, computers, career, hobbies. There are a number of things that can be in the way of God. All of these things we cling to ourselves, we keep to ourselves, and we do not want to part with them, and would even fight with all our existence to keep these things for ourselves. However, in doing so, many times we become poorer and poorer. I have a little example about this. In Africa, there is a small worm. Whenever this worm has not enough to eat, he doesn't look forward or above anymore, but only looks at himself, and his mouth starts facing his rear, and he starts eating himself from the end until there's nothing left of this worm. It could have been so easy for him. If only he would look up, he would maybe still find a way forward for his life. But since he's only looking at himself, he can only eat himself. This is an example, perhaps, of human beings. Without God, we only see ourselves. We think only of ourselves. And we start eating ourselves until we die. However, it's so easy. In fact, we could look up. Before us is God. He is there, and he can free us from all our selfishness and free us from the things that hold us onto this life and the things that part us from God. All these things we can say in theory, but what does it look like in the practical life? Yes, this first commandment really is a big problem for us. Let us think of a few examples. If somebody tells you at the work you have to lie, yes, you should obey God above all things. Would you want to part with your job because you are a Christian? It can be even worse. In some countries in the world, people are paying with their own lives because they believe in God. And sometimes we see that even small things stand in the way between us and God. For example, if we have a particularly rainy day, then we would not go even to church, or sometimes we would even stay in bed the whole day, not going to church for a very simple reason. So we can see in these small examples how other things are in fact more important than God. This is just the tip of the iceberg. So we can see in all of these things that to love and trust God above all is really something that is not part of us human beings. The first commandment, therefore, is actually a big question mark. How shall we do this? The answer is only through Christ. Christ is the only one who can and who does give himself completely to God and opens for us heavens so that we can see God, we can believe in God, and through the Holy Spirit we can fear, love, and trust God. above all things. The second command: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. There we again, we lift our 10 fingers and we have come to the second finger, thinking of the number 2, a small aid for the memory. Normally people have 2 names, a calling name and a family name. So the number 2 reminds us this is about a name. It is about God's name. So right in the beginning we ask this question: what is the importance of God's name? Why should we honor God's name and keep it holy? We can see that even in society, that our name does have very important significance. If I have a lot of money on the bank, then I would only have to show by my ID card or by my bank card that it is really me in the bank, then I can take the money off the account. So we can see our name is very closely related to our entire person and can even have significance for our material things that we have. So in the second commandment, we learn that God doesn't only impart us his name, but his person. God gives us the right to use his name in prayer. God gives us the right to use his name in holy baptism. God gives us an amazing privilege by giving us his name, which is far, far more important than if anybody could give us his bank card and PIN number. God is not only giving us his name, but is opening heavens. He's opening a door for us into heaven. We can use his name and pray to God in his name. However, it is also true that we can misuse his name by using God's name without even thinking of God, or using God's name in swear words or in other ways. God forbids misusing his name in the second commandment. God wants us instead to keep his name holy. In the Old Testament, we should explain this first. Holy, what does this mean? It means that if we use God's name, that we should separate it from worldly things. This is the meaning of the word holy. In fact, separate. So in fact, if we use God's name, it means that we should not allow in prayer to God, we should not allow that our prayers are interrupted by perhaps the telephone, by music, by television. Or even in some cases where people would take the telephone into church and there even use the telephone whilst praying to God and disrupting other people's prayers also as they are praying to God. So we see that God's name is holy and we separate it from other things of this world. We should allow this in our lives, that God's name is holied. In God's name, God gives us an incredible gift. In this gift, we can not only use once a week on Sundays, but we can use his name every day, praying to him, praising him, and telling other people about God.